Hello, everyone. I would like to talk a little bit today about embracing your image. Well, what does that mean, embracing your image? Well, as believers, the Bible tells us in Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over all the living creatures, over the fish of the sea, and the birds of the air, and the beasts of the field. He did this, the Bible says, he created them male and female. Now, God wasn't speaking to the angels, but God was speaking to Jesus and the Holy Spirit when he said, let us, the triune God, three in one, he said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. And we were created male and female. The male created first from the dust of the ground, and God breathed into him the breath of life, and that man became a living soul. And then he put the man into a deep sleep. And the Bible says he removed a rib, and from the rib he formed a woman who was supposed to be side by side as a helper for the man. They were to rule together. They were to have dominion together. There was no one was subordinate and one was dominant, but they were created to walk side by side and rule together. And God had them in a garden. And in that garden, everything that they needed was in the garden. And they didn't have to go out and dig in the dirt. They didn't have to plant anything. God had already planted all the trees. Everything was there for them. They had the perfect environment. As a matter of fact, God said it was very good. But unfortunately, the man and the woman began to talk to the serpent. And the serpent was filled with evil. And he began to speak to the man and the woman totally against instructions that God had given. And so the Bible tells us that the serpent was talking with Eve, but Adam was standing right there. And although Adam had received direct instructions from God not to eat from the tree in the middle of the garden with the knowledge of good and evil, when the serpent tempted Eve to eat from that tree, Adam never said a word. He never spoke up and said, no, Eve, God has given us instructions. From that tree we are not supposed to eat. But he stood there and he watched Eve take the fruit and bite it. And then she gave it to him, and he ate as well. And unfortunately, when their eyes were open and they had sinned against God, their punishment was the removal from the garden, the removal from that perfect environment that God had created for them. And he cast them out of the garden, and he told the man, from now on, you have to toil and you will eat from the sweat of your brow. By toiling in the dirt, you will have to plant and harvest. He told the woman she would have great pain in childbearing. And for centuries, it went on just like that. Until the plan of redemption that God had made was fulfilled. You see, God prepared a body, and he sent the angel to speak to a virgin to tell her that the power of the Most High would overshadow her, and she would conceive and bear a son without the aid of the male seed. But it would be by the Holy Ghost, by the power of God, that would overshadow her and impregnate her with a sinless, blameless child who would grow up to be the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who lived out his life. He was sinless and he was blameless, so that we might have the opportunity to be reconciled to God and to once and for all embrace the image and likeness in which we were created. Well, what does it mean to embrace that image and to embrace that likeness? Well, the Bible tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and there wasn't anything that was made unless it was made by him. But the Bible goes on to tell us in John chapter 1, down at verse 14, and the Word was made flesh, and he made his dwelling among us. And that Word made flesh was Jesus Christ. He was made flesh, and he took on our sin, that we might have the opportunity to be completely and totally reconciled back to God. But he lived the 33 years on the earth instead of just coming in the form as a man, a full-grown man, and dying for our sins. But he lived his life on the earth as an example for us, that we might know whose image we were created in and what likeness we are to take on. You see, when Jesus walked the earth, he never did his own will. He always was committed and submitted to the will of the Father. Whatever the Father wanted, that's what Jesus wanted to do. Even when it wasn't seemingly in his own best interest, even when it caused him pain and suffering, even when it caused him death on the cross, he willingly obeyed God. And the Bible tells us he learned obedience through what he suffered. And so Jesus set the example that we who would be willing to submit our will unto God's will may begin to embark upon the journey of embracing the image and likeness in which we were created. Well, how do we do that? Well, step one, if you're not a believer, you need to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you need to believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, because the Bible says that confession is made. It is important that confession is made unto salvation, but we are to believe unto righteousness. In other words, we are to believe that we can live holy and live right because Jesus lived holy and lived right. But in order that we might fulfill the image and likeness in which we were created, once we've received Christ as Savior and Lord and acknowledged him and asked for forgiveness of our sin, then there's a transformation that must take place. And Romans 12, 1 and 2 tells us that transformation is by the renewing of our minds. For you see, our human nature, as Adam and Eve demonstrated, is all about comfort, is all about doing what pleases our flesh, doing the things that we think are going to benefit us, that we think are going to feel good to us, that we think are going to somehow give us more self-esteem, that are going to make us better in the eyes of others, because that's what the human nature does. And the only way to bring that human nature, to bring that flesh under subjection, is to have our minds transformed. That instead of seeking after our own good, seeking after what makes us feel better, seeking after what makes us look better, we will seek after the will of God. We will surrender to his will and to his way. Even as Jesus surrendered to his will and to his way. So Jesus set the example. And now it is up to us. Because if we believe what the Bible says, then we'll begin to do what the Bible says. If we believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, then we will allow him to take the place of lordship in our lives. Instead of doing what we think is best, we'll seek what God thinks is best. You see, the Bible tells us if we lack wisdom, we can ask God because he will give it to us liberally. In other words, without measure. And he won't criticize us for asking. He won't rebuke us for asking. But instead, he will give us revelation knowledge of his will, revelation knowledge of his plan. He will reveal the purpose for our lives, the purpose for which we were created, because we were created in the image and likeness of God that we might do the will of God. And so the more we are willing to surrender, the more we are willing to submit, the more we are willing to align our lives with the word, the will, and the plan of and the purpose of God, the more we will begin to see how God desires to use us, how God desires to work in our lives, how God desires to lead us in the path that leads to everlasting life. You see, the Bible tells us that we can enter into this process of redemption, which allows us to be restored to the place of right standing. And it will cause us, therefore, to be reconciled to our Creator God. Jesus' sacrifice finished the work. And if we read in Ephesians, the second chapter, it is by God's grace we are saved through faith. And that not of ourselves, it is God's gift. So, if we have taken this step of faith, we need to recognize that we are no longer the same. As a matter of fact, Paul told us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. And instead, all things become new. We have to understand that these bodies that we live in are only dust, but that our spirit and our soul is going to inhabit somewhere forever. But the choices that we make, the decisions that we make, and how we live our lives is going to be the determining factor. Because one day, these bodies will pass away and return to dust. But our spirits and souls will live on in eternity. And in order to know where our spirits and souls will spend eternity, we have to embrace the word of God. We have to make the confession of faith, and we have to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. The Bible says in Peter's letter, the second letter that he wrote in the first chapter. He said that grace and peace will be multiplied to us if we operate in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, because his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And this is through the knowledge of him, Jesus, who has called us by glory and virtue. In other words, Jesus has done the balance of the work, and now it is our responsibility to accept it by faith and to live out that truth in our actions. It's not enough to say what you believe. It has to be seen in your actions. James was the flesh and blood brother of Jesus Christ. They both had the same mother. James did not come to faith in Jesus until after he was risen from the dead. But this is what James told us. He told us faith without works is dead, being alone. In order to know that we have faith, it is by observing our actions, because our actions show what we really believe. And so, just like Abraham, the Bible says Abraham believed God and it was credited unto him as righteousness. Well, how did we know that Abraham believed God? Well, we know that Abraham believed God because when God spoke to Abraham and told him, take your son Isaac, your son, your only son that you love, and take him to the mountain where you will sacrifice him to me. Well, the Bible tells us that Abraham obeyed and went. And not only did he obey and go, but he took his son up to the mountain and he tied him up and he put him on the altar and he actually raised the knife to kill him before God spoke from heaven and said, slay not your son. And God provided a ram for his own sacrifice, which was a type and a shadow, because Jesus was the lamb that was provided from the foundation of the world. And he was the sacrifice for the sins of all mankind. But until we embrace his sacrifice, and until we are willing to activate our faith by living it out, by walking in the truth, we cannot be secured in our eternal home. So God looks at us, but when he looks at us, if we have received Christ as Savior and Lord, then he looks at us through the blood of Jesus. And so he doesn't see us as sinners. He doesn't see us as what we are, but he sees us as the image and the likeness in which we were created. But our responsibility is to respond by faith and to live out the word of God according to the will of God. As he continues to unveil, as he continues to reveal, as he continues to show, as he continues to lead, our responsibility is to respond in faith by seeking his face, by praying with regularity, by reading his word with regularity. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul, he told Timothy, that young man that he mentored in the faith, he told him, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman whose needs not to be ashamed, who will rightly divide the word of truth. Well, what does it mean to rightly divide the word of truth? Well, what it means is, we will keep the word in its proper context. In other words, we won't go out and take this one verse out of the center of a passage and try to make our own doctrine. We won't try to reinterpret the word. You see, the Bible says that all scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. That's what Paul wrote to Timothy. And why did he write it? Because people were trying to come up with their own doctrines. And many of those people that were trying to come up with their own doctrines, it was for their own motivations. It was for them to be able to deceive others and to take advantage of others. But if we study to show ourselves approved unto God, we won't be able to be deceived because we will know the truth. And the Bible says that when we know the truth will make us free. So, what we found out is that Jesus, being our example, shows us the image and likeness in which we are to be. Paul was nice enough to tell us that all things are profitable, but all things are lawful, excuse me, but all things are not necessarily profitable. I have the liberty to do whatever I desire to do because I've been given free will. But if I want to be a follower of Christ, if I want to operate in the image and the likeness that I've been created, then I need to stick with the word because the word reveals God's will. And if I am willing to walk out that will, then I will see the blessings of God. I will see eternity with him. The Bible says that the way to hell is broad, and there are many that are walking upon it. But the Bible says that the way to heaven, the way to eternal life, is narrow, and there are few that find it. We want to be part of the few. As Peter said, we are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, a people belonging to God. If we have accepted the sacrifice that Jesus made, then we are a people belonging to God. And we are perfectly positioned to embrace our image and our likeness as new creations in Christ, as people who walk by faith and not by sight, as people who are surrendered and submitted to the will and the plan and the purpose of God, as people who are willing and ready to fulfill their calling. The Bible tells us to do the work of an evangelist. In other words, to help other people find Christ. Now, everybody won't preach, and everybody won't prophesy, and everybody won't teach, but God has given each of us a gift. And through that gift, we can reach someone for the kingdom. Because he told us that we are ambassadors for Christ. We are the vessels that God is using to reconcile people back to himself. So it is important, therefore, that we share the truth and walk in the light. The Bible says, walk in the light as he is in the light. So as we learn more about Jesus, as we learn more about the character of God through the reading of the word, we will see best how to fulfill his image and his likeness to be the creation that he created to carry out his will in the earth. Thank you for listening.